Pickaxe.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Looks boring.
What are you on about?
All of their games look boring.
You don't look boring. It looks like you're an assassin on the Isle of Man.
But it doesn't have the kind of wow.
The steampunk quail-based economy is incredible.
Yeah, it's boring.
VG247's Best Games Ever podcast is ostensibly a show about figuring out what the best game in a weirdly specific category is, but it's actually just about petty arguments. You should listen to it. It's good.
Is that it? That's the whole promo?
Yeah, I was just doing
And that's supposed to make people subscribe, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good luck with that.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello!
And welcome to Kirsty and Bryony's Comfort Zone.
I am Kirsty.
And I am Bryony. And today, for our special Halloween episode, we have gone into a dark, mysterious cave. And what's that we hear in the cave?
Meow!
We hear many cats.
Oh my god!
who's this we can see in the distance? Is that... Is that a Boof?
It's Boof! Let me out! Let me out! I'm trapped in a cave! I thought you were going to say that we've gone into a dark, mysterious cave, and that is my mind in which all the dreams congregate.
It is! We're in your dream cave.
Oh my god. Welcome to my dream cave. It is quite something. You're going to be offered one of those ponchos that you get when you go to water parks.
Ooh, lovely.
A log flume. Get one of those on and a flashlight and also a whistle so we can find you again.
Mm-hmm. Just a we little can do whistle. Like a Marco Polo.
Yeah, in my dreams.
Find each other.
Just get lost
thank
in
you
it.
So much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Would you say that you have... Because I've heard about a few of your dreams before. Do your dreams tend towards the spooky or...?
They do sometimes, but they're mostly just very, very surreal. They're Ooh. So strange in my dreams that... Like, even last night's dream, it didn't make much sense.
Yeah.
There was a bit where I fell asleep. Apparently, I'd fallen asleep with a hair clipping, and it had embedded itself into my hair and my scalp, and it was just falling out. And I just had like big bits of plastic and gemstones falling out of my head into the bath. And I was like, "It's fine. It happens."
What are you gonna do?
What are you gonna do?
Oh, do you find that you dream a lot? Like, do you?
I do.
Yeah.
I think I dream more than a lot of people, but they're so strange that it's like it's easy to differentiate from being awake and being asleep. So I just kind of move on with my life and I'm just like, this really weird dream. It's just like that they're very fractured. Like there's no real storyline that goes on in them usually. It's just like here's a bit and here's another bit that you're thinking about. Ooh, what about this?
I have that sometimes when I listen back to the recordings of my dreams and it will just be being like, I was here. And then somehow I was here with completely different people.
Yeah.
And I was played by Ryan Reynolds. And it's just like, wait, what?
That's not a dream.
Oh my God. Yeah, I find that too. My dreams have been all over the place lately. I've not remembered any of them, but I know I've been dreaming every night. And they've been really bizarre. But not bizarre enough for me to remember, obviously. So it's good that we have you here today.
Bail us out.
We're just going to try and figure out what's going on in my head at certain points in time.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
I did have a nightmare the other night, though.
Oh.
Because I skipped a dose of my medication. And it was a nightmare that is not scary in the least.
Yeah.
But it made me feel weird.
Oh.
And it took me 3 hours to come back to reality when I woke up.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's that sort of... My dad had ordered pizza. And...
Yeah.
And it tasted funny.
That sounds like a nightmare to me.
It was a nightmare. And I was feeling really unwell. And I was like, oh, this is weird. And then there was like a staircase, like a spiral staircase in a huge thing. And there was a wizard there. And then the what was supporting the steps disappeared. But the steps were still there. And I was chasing this wizard up the stairs. And oh, I woke up going, where's my dad? Where's that pizza? I don't want it. I don't want the pizza. Tell him I don't want it.
Oh, my God. Wait,
do you remember why you were chasing the wizard? Had the wizard cursed the pizza? Were you
no,
like, give me
just,
my good pizza back?
Give me my good pizza, you bastard. I have no idea why the wizard was even there. And there was a bit where I was driving with my dad to pick up the pizza. And it was a very small car. And it was nighttime. And there was garlic bread as well. And it was the garlic bread that I was really looking forward to. So when I woke up and I was like thinking, oh, I could have garlic bread. And for some reason, this made me feel worse than other nightmares or other dreams, which they're so weird.
Not having garlic bread is a nightmare.
It is.
Yeah. It is strange how... Like, sometimes if you wake up from something that's just like, you know, your typical scary monster jumps at you and you're just like, oh, that's a bit spooky, but then you move on. But it is sometimes just the slightly weird, slightly unnerving things that will stick with you for the rest of the day where you're just like, oh, that's weird.
For sure.
Like, I still remember dreams from when I was living with my mum, which was... 15 years ago or something, because it was like I could hear a plane that was too close and it was like it was going to crash in the field at the bottom of the road. It's terrifying.
Oh my God.
Where's like one of my like childhood nightmares still, I still remember it to this day, and this must have been about like just under 30 years ago that I had this dream. And all it was that I was shown around a factory and I was like, oh, what a lovely factory tour. I don't remember what the factory was for. And then at the end, the guy was like, oh, and one last thing before you leave. And all of a sudden, I'm on a treadmill and I can't run away. And he opens up a box and there's a small piece of just skin, just flesh in the box. And it floats up and starts chasing me and I can't get away from it.
Oh my God.
And for some reason, that has stuck with me all my life. I'm just like, the tiny flesh.
The tiny flesh.
Me.
Run away from the flesh.
You want to scare Bryony, just show a bit of skin.
Yeah, true. I'm just very prude. That's all it is. Yeah.
I don't want to look at it.
Ugh. It was ankle flesh as well.
Oh my God.
Put it away.
Do you have any like childhood nightmares you remember, Kirsty?
Yeah, I do. I think I've told it before on the podcast, but there was one that I will always remember that was in the first house that I lived in. And I was in the garden and a giant polar bear came out from like the back door. And I was terrified. But then it turned into a big gnome and it fell over. So I was like, oh, thank God for that. It's not going to get me anymore. So I went further into the garden and we had a little brick wall. And I looked at the brick wall and there was a cage in it with a dismembered hand, like a disembodied hand. It was just there, kind of like the one from the Addams Family. It was in the cage. And I was just like, okay, that's weird. So I carried on. And we had like a driveway at the end of the garden that my dad used to get into the shed. And that opened up into a pit of lava. And yeah, that dream has stuck with me. I must have been, we moved out of that house in 1998. So
quite a long time to hold that with you.
Yeah, literally. And I will never forget that dream.
It's probably the norm. That's the most unnerving thing about that for me.
Literally.
personally a huge norm. I remember, because I think we moved out of our house in, it was probably 1994 or 95. And I still dream I'm back there. But yeah. There's one that I dreamt after we'd moved out of that house. And it was like, I dreamt that I was in that house and I was being chased by a massive tarantula through the house.
Oh my God.
And it was like, it was the size of a dinner plate. It was this tarantula.
Ooh.
And it's like, it was chasing me down the stairs and into the living room. And I was like, oh my God. And I was, I hated it. And I woke up and I kept getting these dreams, and my parents realized it was the sort of color of the lamp next to my bed.
Oh,
so they took the lamp out. But also in that bedroom, I had chosen the worst color scheme. We had a sort of like a bright burgundy purplish carpet that was very, very plush. And I'd gone, yeah, you know what will go well with this? Lime green walls. And
amazing.
A frieze that's got a circus on it.
Oh my gosh.
That's so good. This is why you should never let kids decorate their own bedrooms. They're like, yeah, green, purple, clowns.
It's like my brother, he was obsessed with Transformers back when we were little. So my parents were like, okay, they got him this like Transformers wallpaper, covered all the walls in it. And then he hated it because at night, all he could see was this, like, it was that real like 90s, very noisy wallpaper, and it terrified him and he couldn't sleep, and they just had to take it all down again.
Oh my gosh. My bedroom when I was a kid was bright yellow. I had a bright yellow TV, I had bright yellow walls. I would have had bright yellow bed sheets if I could. I do now. Live in the dream.
Live in the dream. The Pikachu love goes.
Yeah, it goes way back. I've always Pikachu wanted yellow. Just everything yellow.
It's beautiful.
I think I used to have, what was it called? Was it like Country Companions or something? Very nice, like watercolor hedgehogs and stuff like that. It was really lovely. So I had lovely night sleep.
I did have bunny wallpaper in one of my bedrooms. After it was in me and Rosie swipped bedrooms. So Rosie got the big bedroom and I got the little box room that she sort of had, and I had bunny wallpaper in it, and because it was hers. And it was lovely. They were all doing different things on the wallpaper.
Oh,
I think I slept better in that room.
Yeah, but I have the same thing. Like you say, like most of my dreams will take place in the house I grew up in.
Yeah.
Despite having not lived there for 10 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I guess it's like because it's part of your formative years. It sort of just stays in your brain forever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever had a dream about like the flat I live in now.
I can remember one dream about being in this house, and it was that terrifying dream about where I think it's the only time I ever experienced sleep paralysis. And it was that I was lying in bed where I was lying, and all of a sudden this doctor just walked in, and I knew it was a dream, and I was like, I have to wake up. And I was trying to like move to wake myself up. So maybe I'll just stick to dreaming about my parents' house.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's probably best. I have dreamt about this house, but also, like, houses, I'm like, I know that it's this house, but it looks really weird and different.
Mm-hmm.
But at the dream that I woke up and I recorded it, it was, like, last week or something, and that was like, in my old where I used to live in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And I've never visited anywhere in this dream, but I knew that it was back there then.
Mm-hmm.
But it was fab. It's not scary at all, but I it was an interesting one that sort of had flow to it.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, fascinating.
It's nice when they end up having a little sort of story to them. Yeah. It makes it easier to remember as well.
Definitely. No, like I said, last night I dreamt there was a bit with the hair clips because I was in the bath. And then there was a bit where I was dreaming about the cast of Red Dwarf, and it was behind the scenes, and there was like loads of little shuttles and stuff. And I was like, this is really stupid. Why would you build that? And then I was on the seafront, and there was loads, and it was like really stormy, and there was loads of foam. You know when it goes all foamy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there was a man in the sea, and he was sitting there, and I was like, he's not gonna last long there. It's just like three different weird bits of dream that had no connection to them in any way.
Oh well, we know from experience that bodies of water.
Oh, yeah.
Anxiety,
baby.
Because I had, do you remember that time last year, which you helped me a lot through, where I was having like really bad anxiety, just yes. really like peaked. And literally every dream I brought to the podcast would be like, I was in a swimming pool, I was in a river, I was crossing a lake. I was like, where's the body of water? Here it is.
Where is it? And if you don't have it, then you start getting anxious, like, where's my water?
Yeah,
that makes sense because I was dreaming that I was in a bath as well.
Oh yeah, true.
Like that there was a bath and there was the sea, and then this one there is also a body of water. There's two actually. Sort of.
Oh, boy. No.
They're not really bodies of water. They're quite calm things though.
Yeah.
So I can talk about that if you want to.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
I've got my dream book, my highly book. Scientific please, dream book that will please, tell us everything.
Yeah, please interject at any point if you can unravel these dreams.
Okay.
We'll try our best.
Yeah. I apparently had gone to visit my friends up in Yorkshire where we all grew up and where their house was. And it's like we were in a stately home type place. They didn't live in a stately home. They lived in a big house, but it wasn't a stately home. And we were in the gardens of it, like the grounds. And we were walking around. And my friend turned into a fish. And she was still the same size that she was, 5-something. And she was a fish. And I had to throw her in a fountain because I was worried that she'd dry out. So there was a fountain there and I threw her in it. I was like, there you go. And I said, hey, do you want to go visit your old house? So apparently we weren't there. There's somebody at the door. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, this is perfect.
Makes it feel like a spooky tale now, like there's somebody at the door.
The fish is at the door.
Oh. It's like I started listening to this podcast that is the voice of Gail from Baldur's Gate, Tim Downey. He does this like folk, like British folk tales podcast. But the first episode is him talking about spooky things. And I didn't realise, so I was like, oh, I'll just put it on and I'll get into bed. And he started telling the story about like how they took down a wall in his old house and they found a suit hanging there. And then they heard footsteps ever since. And I was just like,
oh my God.
This isn't good listening for bedtime. Oh, welcome back.
I've returned. Hello. My goodness me. I love that my delivery driver, I'm like, I can't stop to talk. I'm recording. She's like, they're like, oh, don't worry. You're recording. Yeah. Don't worry about it. But they love Brenda and Brenda loves them.
Oh,
so every time we end up spending like 10, 15 minutes at the door with Brenda just going, hello, I love you. They're beautiful. Sorry about that anyway. This is what it's like recording with me every day.
It's okay.
It's something. So my friend was a fish. she was in a fountain. I was like, okay, do you want to go visit your old house? And she was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. So I picked her up. I was like, let's go. Come on, you fishy. Me, just me. And she at some point she became herself again. And I was we were joined by her sister. And we walked through some fields and there was one field that was like so steep on this, in this field. It was so steep. And then there was more steep hills around it. So I was like surrounded by these looming fields, these hills. Ooh. And they were so high. And we carried on walking down this hill, and there was a little, we were walking towards the cottage, and there was like an alleyway sort of thing with houses, tiny cottages on either side. And it was, somebody parked their car in the middle of it, but it was like fenced in. I was like, how the fuck do you get that out? How do you get this car out? Okay. And right down on the end, there was another car there as well. And there was like this really like nice sports car there. And it was, I was like, oh, it's like, it's just like my car. It's just like mine. And it's just because it had the same sticker on it. That's just like my car. We finally came to the end of this little row of houses, and there was their old house. And it was a very, it was one of those super old, like, cottages that are, they're white and they're really low down. And it was like one story, and it was, there was a tree that was almost like growing into the side of it. And I was like, oh, it's beautiful, this house, I love it. And it was right next to a canal, right on the end there. And I remember looking down the canal, there was nothing on the other side of the canal.
Oh.
It was like a big hedgerow or like wall or something that was just blocking it off. So it was completely like shaded, and there's trees and stuff. It was gorgeous. And we sat down outside our house, and there was a toilet there. There was a toilet. And I sat on the toilet, and we were just sitting there, and I was looking down, and it was like so relaxing, and it was just such a beautiful thing. And then I heard a plop, and I was like, oh no, I hope nobody notices that I've just done a poo in this toilet that's on the outside of this house that I sat down at. I was sorting out my pairs of pants at that time while I was sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
I brought all my pairs of underwear and my socks. And I brought them with me to sort out, and I was folding them in front of my best friends. and I'm reading what I've written and what I've transcribed here.
Was your friend still a fish at this point?
No, she was back being normal.
Oh, that's good.
It's like, I have no idea where she was.
Yeah.
And I was still sorting things out, and my hands were really full, and I also had a massive bag of popcorn.
Oh.
And it was the kind of bag that, you know, when they do it at the cinemas and they change, they fill the popcorn things at the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those. But it had a hole, and the popcorn was spilling everywhere. It was just going everywhere. So it was after this point that I'd done a poo outside a stranger's house. And we were sitting there for ages and ages, and I was looking down the canal, and it was very nice. And it was like, there was a woman that was walking around, and she was looking dead suspicious. It was obviously her house. And she had something on her head, and it was like straw that she'd fashioned into like a hat, like those straw dollies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she had a broom. And she was sweeping around. I was like, oh, she looks like she's going to start tending to some bees. So apparently this was her beekeeper outfit.
Yeah.
I was like, right, better go then. And she muttered something under her breath. And I said, oh, I don't know whether we're going to be able to see the elephant. What? The elephant foot bird. That was it. The elephant foot bird.
Oh my gosh.
She wanted to see the elephant foot bird, and she was angry because we disturbed it. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. We used to live here. And she was like, oh, that's all right. And she started talking to us as we were walking back. And I was like, you should have put a sign up. You should have put a sign up saying, like, don't disturb the elephant foot bird. and she was like, yeah, well, I did. And I apparently I'd said at this point in the recording, I love how people are shit to me, even in my dreams. So we were walking back and I was thinking to myself, I wish this woman would leave me alone. And when we started to leave, when we'd stood up to leave, there was like a log. And I looked under the log and there was some kittens' legs. So there was some kittens asleep in this log.
Aww.
And it was missing a back leg. Like, there was another one and it was missing a back leg, like Candace, the mummy cat.
Aww.
Beautiful, beautiful babies. So we walked to the end of this and this woman, I was like, right, I'm just going to start ignoring this woman now.
Yeah.
And there was like a pier, like a jetty type thing. So obviously we were near water again because we were near a harbour. And it was like the decked floor, and there was a thing in the centre. You know, like carousels have that very distinct sort of like, they're like hexagonal or octagonal shape, and they've got all the very ornate decorations and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was that in the middle and it's very small and there was loads of people crowding around it. And I looked on top and there was the elephant foot bird. He was there. So I'd seen him. I was like, yeah, there he is. and I went underneath and there was loads of taxidermy on show on this thing. It was like, oh wow. And there was a kitten in a bath, you know, and there was a duckling that had like a shower cap on and wrapped in a towel. And then there was all sorts. It was so good. My friend was saying something to do with an eagle, and I think she was pointing about the elephant foot bird on the top. And apparently she scared it off with a laser pointer. this elephant foot bird, and I was like, right, but yeah, there is taxidermy, and there's two women in the center of this thing, and around them there's a glass a second glass circle, and it's spinning around, and I look in there and I think, oh, this is really good taxidermy, no wonder they don't have this on display. And I realised that there's like a dachshund having a sleep and everything's asleep in there. And I realised that they're actually living things that they'd drugged and dressed up.
Oh
and
my God. There.
And I was like, I was really mad. I was so angry. There was a taxidermy kitten in a gravy boat, apparently.
Oh my God.
It was a dashing in an outfit and sleeping kittens and sleeping ducks. And then I instantly got really mad. I was like, you drugged these. What? But these horrible women have drugged animals and they're dressed up and putting them in the centre ring. Because there's no way they wouldn't be drugged because there's so many people around. And they looked, these women, they were like, they looked dead miserable. They were the sort of women that you see out and they're just like, no. One was really fat and blonde. And it looked like her face was sagging to the floor.
Jeez.
And I was like, right, fuck this, I'm leaving. And I remember thinking about, like, as I was leaving, should I buy the kitten in the gravy boat though? Because I really like that kitten in the gravy boat. And then I woke up, apparently. It's all very weird because the transcription of my recording doesn't really understand my accent. Oh, well.
Oh, my gosh.
Is there taxidermy in your magic dream book?
I looked at taxidermy, right? And there's nothing under T, so I was just looking through the animal section to see if there's anything in there. Because I feel like that must be a...
It's got to be a thing, right?
Like another name for taxidermy? Stuff. I look up stuffed. I looked up, do you know what? This sounds really sad. But I'm sort of happy, like I'm sort of excited to look up poo. Because we've looked up like piss so many times. Because
yeah,
I'm just
not really
constantly
before,
pissing in my dreams. But we've never explored poo before.
We have never explored poo before. This
very
is really exciting.
Nice. It's brand new territory.
I am always doing something on the toilet in my dreams as well. Like the dreams where you're sitting on the toilet and the door of the cubicle is like really high up, so they can't see your face, but they can see your body on the toilet. Mm-hmm. Or you're in a room and the toilet's just kind of on the side there and you really need to go. So you're sitting there just having a shit.
I have dreams a lot where I'm on the toilet and then all of a sudden I realise that I've accidentally gone live on Twitch.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to cover up the fact that I'm on the toilet. I'm just sort of like, hey everyone, how's it going?
I'm not in the bathroom. I'm not having a poo. I promise.
So for fish, it says, I mean, there's nothing about if your friend turns into a fish. But it
then
says,
I'm not interested.
Dreaming of fish connects with the emotional side of ourselves, but more our ability to be wise without being strategic.
Interesting, because that's the opposite of what I am.
Well, I mean, you were very smart to throw her in the fountain.
That's true.
That was some quick thinking.
I don't want my friend to dry out, obviously. Not seen her in 20 years. The first time I see her, she's a fish.
And I can go straight from fish to feces.
Lovely. Hooray.
Woo. Wait, is it? Oh my God. Is it not under? Oh, it's going to be under something else, isn't it? I'm going to look up excrement.
Excrement. I like you. It's under all the posh words for poop.
Yeah.
Just red poop, guys. Just red poop.
We can handle it. Is it going to be there?
I'm trying to Google taxidermy in dreams, but naturally every website says...
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Something different.
Of course.
Apparently you have trauma about hunting animals.
I do. Honestly, all those all those kittens that I hunted.
Oh yeah, putting them in a gravy boat.
Yep, and the elephant foot bird as well.
Of course.
It says... When we dream of feces or excrement, we are returning to an infant level of expression and enjoyment, which I guess is like your childhood friends. So that makes sense.
Oh my God.
It says experiences we have had may have been relevant at the time, but we now need to let them go like a poo.
Aww.
Well, following on from that, this website that I found, a very, very reliable website probably, says taxidermy in dreams can symbolize wanting to hold on to something or someone. It's a desire to keep someone close. So you're dreaming about your childhood friends, you're dreaming about having fun, pooping, and
hanging on to it as well.
And hanging on to it.
Well, that's interesting, though.
The second part of excrement says there are certain aspects of our lives which we have used up and need to expel. So maybe you're just trying to decide there's some things you need to let go, some things you need to hold on to.
And I was sorting through my underwear, which I probably was going like,
oh my God, it all makes sense.
And actually, it does make sense because I am in the process of trying to, like, sort out loads of my stuff because I have so much stuff. I'm like, I should really get rid of all of this. I need to get rid of this. And then I'm thinking,
Oh, but I can't really just get rid of yarn. I could just knit it into blankets and give them to, like, animal shelters instead of just, like,
the sleeping animals.
The sleeping animals.
In their gravy boats. You can tuck them in.
Oh, my God. That is so cute. I do. I kind of want a gravy boat. And do you know, I think it's because I went to a shop and there was a Bisto gravy boat that you could buy. And I was like, I am actually considering getting a Bisto gravy boat.
I really want a gravy boat, even though I don't really have gravy on much stuff, because I really want to do like a nice cooked meal for friends around Christmas time, like a little friendmas day. And I was like, I should get a gravy boat to be on the table for all of 2 seconds before it's used up.
You should absolutely.
But it'll feel fancy.
Yeah. I don't have a gravy boat.
Yeah, I usually make it in a mug and then I try and pour it over things and then it just goes bleh, bleh.
You just do it in a Pyrex and then pour it on and then that's it.
Yeah. Because I mean, I had chips and gravy the other night for my tea and I had a microwave pot of gravy that I needed to use up. I was like, yeah, I'll just have that. And I was like, this is classy. Microwaving a pot of gravy to put over my chips.
Well, if you've got a gravy boat, you can microwave it, pour it in the boat, then pour it on. And that's fancy.
That is fancy. Exactly. That's really fancy. I could do that. So what about, okay, I'm finding another bit of my dream. What about the sports car that I said that was my car?
Oh yeah, because it had the sticker on.
Yeah. Mine.
I wonder if, what would it be? Vehicle, maybe.
Yeah.
Vegetables? No, it's not there. I'll just go for car. Maybe it's just under car.
It could just be under car.
Yeah.
The book is... I'm surprised some of the things it has in it and then some of the things it doesn't have in it. Oh, no, it is under car. Okay, is there anything about specifically...
My sports? Car.
Boof's car.
My car.
It says, the car is very often representative of our own personal space, an extension of our being.
Mm.
So, I wonder, I mean, I guess the fact that you thought like, oh yeah, like my car, I guess, what would that be? If there's someone that is maybe very different, but you still relate to them, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds plausible.
Good
like,
work.
This fast, speedy car, and I'm like, yeah, that's like my car. So this person, I could be like, oh, it's nothing like me, but really I'm thinking like, yeah, that's me. I relate to the sticker on that person.
Do you remember what the sticker was?
It was, I think it was either the flame stickers that I have on my car. Yeah, I think it probably was the flame stickers.
Makes the car go quicker.
It does. Yeah. And the flame stickers on my car, they used to be like neon, but they've sun faded, so now they're pastel.
Oh!
It's very beautiful. Very nice. So it does make it go faster, though. It can hit about 60 miles an hour now.
Ooh.
I think. I haven't tried it in a while, though. Go really fast.
It also says a car stands for spiritual direction and motivation.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting. Want to be sporty, speedy?
Speedy
sporty car.
I do want to be motivated.
Perfect.
So that's obviously what that means. And we know that I also have anxiety because of all the water that's in the dream.
So maybe you want to be motivated, but you're fenced in by the anxiety like the car was.
Oh my God.
Stop it. This is making too much sense now. There's so much in my dreams. What about like hills and fields?
Ooh. Well, we looked up fields in the last episode, because I dreamt that I was in a field with a velociraptor.
Oh, yes.
But I've forgotten what
it meant.
That's
very beautiful.
Yeah. I think I've dreamt about hills before as well, but I can't remember what the meaning was.
Okay. Hail. It says, see also mound. It says to be on top of a hill. So you weren't on top of a hill.
No, I was in, I was walking. Well, I was walking down a hill.
To be climbing a hill in the company of others.
Yes.
Often indicates that we have a common goal, that a journey we possibly thought was ours alone is actually connected with other people.
Oh my goodness. I'll have to ask Becky what her goals are, even though I haven't spoken to her in many years.
Oh, did you say you're walking down the hill?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it says to dream that we are going downhill would indicate that we are feeling as if circumstances are pushing us in a certain direction.
I kind of think so. Probably.
We may be moving from a level of attainment and now feel that, with relaxation of effort, we are not so much in control of our own abilities.
Oh, God. Yep.
Actually true. I need to put more effort in, etc.
Alternatively, I found a website that says to dream of coming down a hill suggests that you've completed your mission that was once blocking you in your life.
So, oh, there you go. You've done it. Don't worry.
Yeah, you've done it. Don't worry about it.
I remember her sister joined me at some point, but then she buggered off at some point as well. It's so strange, my dreams.
Not gonna lie, I was expecting the book to say that hills meant tits.
Yes. Yeah. When you said mound, I was thinking,
Here they come.
There's a lot of Freud would say in this book. There's
yes.
If you ever dream of trains or hot dogs or
anything phallic.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything. Just
the
even
fact
remotely.
There was a sausage dog in your dream. Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, you're right. There was a sausage dog and it was asleep, which means that I am not satisfied because the sausage is not doing anything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God. When we dream we're in a field, we're actually looking at our field of activity, what we are doing in everyday life. It may also be a play on words in that it is to do with the feeling state and is to do with the freedom from social pressure.
Oh.
So maybe the fact that you were like looking over the canal.
Yes.
Maybe that was like that looks lovely. Away from the social pressure. That looks nice.
It does. Though that does actually make a lot of sense because nobody likes social pressure. What am I saying? Do you like social pressure?
No, I'm not a big fan.
I am at this, like I was saying to Kirsty yesterday, I have this roller coaster of emotion going on at the moment because my niece has got her first phone. And on the one hand, it makes me so happy because I've only ever been able to like talk to her through my sister or my mum before. Mm. Whereas now she can just like, she sent me a WhatsApp message just saying that she loves me and I cried because I was like, oh my gosh.
That's so cute.
But on the other hand, I'm like, oh geez, she's getting exposed to the internet now and that terrifies me. So I'm constantly like, I'm so happy that she's here, but also please don't crush her internet. Please be kind. Yeah, that's my body of water.
Yep.
That's my body of water. Yeah, it's very strange. There's some, because I dream about hills quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember another one. I was walking like on the moors and it was quite stormy. At least in this dream, the weather was very clement. It was lovely.
Yeah.
I just remember being quite at ease with the situation that was going on, even the annoying woman.
I love how you were just like, she's awful. I'm leaving now.
I'm leaving. Going. This woman is a bitch. And we just wander around outside her house.
I don't know if I'm ever aware of what the weather is of my dreams. I've never thought about that before.
Ooh.
I don't think there's ever weather. It's very neutral.
Yeah, I think usually there's not a lot of weather going on. But I remember it being quite warm and summery. You know, like where you see the haze of like loads of different little insects floating around and there's like pollen in the air. It felt like that. Which is a very relaxing thing.
Yeah, that's nice.
And sometimes it's stormy.
I think most of the time my dreams are inside, but I did have that dream a while ago, didn't I, Brenny, with like a big storm with lots of wind.
Oh, yeah.
But I think unless it's really bad weather, I don't really pay attention.
That's probably fair enough.
I've looked up birds. Oh. I mean, there's not an elephant foot bird.
Then it's probably irrelevant.
But as a general bird's rule, it says birds in dreams usually represent freedom, imagination, thoughts, and ideas which, by nature, need freedom to be able to become evident.
That's very poignant, isn't
it? So you need to free your elephant foot bird.
Just like I freed my poop into the toilet.
Yes.
There's a lot of letting go, isn't there? There's a lot of ideas and letting go and figuring out, sorting. And it's very true, though. I think, wow, you've got a hit. We've got a hit there. Figuring out my dreams for me. It's not a scary dream, though, is it? It's not really one of the Halloween ones, but at least it's a dream.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. They don't need to be scary.
No.
Not at all. The anxiety is scary enough.
That's true.
The real horror.
The real horror is life itself.
Yep.
There was one thing I was thinking about when you were describing the canal in the dream. It just made me think about, you know, when you're playing a game and there's just an invisible wall. Yeah. As soon as you said about that, it's just like, oh, there's nothing on that side, just the hedge and stuff. I was like, that's the invisible wall. That's where I want to explore. And the game's just like, no, you couldn't climb over a hedge. I'm like, I can, though.
You can't jump over that step. I'm like, come on. Do you find that when you're thinking about a dream, it connects to another dream that you haven't thought about in years?
Yes. I sometimes think I've had a dream more than once and I'm like, did I just dream that I had dreamt it before or did I actually have it before?
I get because that too.
It's reminded me of, it was like I was staying in a woodland sort of, there was like Airbnb, like, you know those little shepherd's huts? I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
And then it was in the Lake District and there was a festival and there was a big bloody bouncy castle that I had to stay in. That was my place to stay, and I was really, it was weird. It's not something that I can remember well enough to talk through, but they all blend together, don't they? The dreams.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
That is strange.
Do you dream in first person or third person?
Oh.
Or something else?
It's hard to tell.
Top down.
It's very hard to, I dream where I just kind of know it's happened.
Yeah.
I think I'm in first person most of the time.
Okay.
But then sometimes I'm looking at myself or I just kind of know that it's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's very weird. That's something that I haven't thought about in a while.
Yeah, and it's something that we ask a lot of people, like when they come on the podcast, because I think me and Bryony are different, aren't we? Like, I'm usually third person, Bryony's usually first person.
Yeah.
Do you dream in colour?
Yeah.
Do you dream? That's a song. I do too.
But there was a time we were reading about back in when films were in black and white, a lot of people used to have black and white dreams because that was like how they consumed story media. Sort of thing. Yeah.
Mm. That's really weird. I'll have to ask my mum, like, whether she dreamed, like, when she had black and white telly. I wonder if she dreamed in black and white. My mum's dreams are as mad as mine are. I think it must be genetic. We have the strangest dreams. And I can't remember what she dreams about. But sometimes she's being crushed and she wakes up and it's a cat on her tummy.
Aww.
Chonky's a very big girl, though.
Big so baby.
No wonder. Her name is Chonky, for goodness sake.
She's got a reputation to uphold.
Sometimes she dreams that I'm having a baby and it turns out that it's a kitten and she's relieved. She dreams about kittens quite a lot. And she dreams... Oh, last night...
you had kittens in your dream.
I did.
Going to look up kittens.
Look up kittens while I tell you about the dream that my mom had the other night, which was very funny. She dreamt that I heard an ice cream truck and I wanted an ice cream, so I went and laid down in front of it or something. I laid down in front of an ice cream truck. Where was it? She wrote it down to me. She said, that was a weird dream. I'm still in it today. Must have been the melatonin. She's still my God. This is talking about it for ages. It's not even talking about it. It's just pictures of cats.
Perfect.
And pictures of her with her glasses on.
It's got cat, but it doesn't have kitten.
Well, if you read about cat, we can sort of like make it small.
Yeah. I'll read it in a slightly higher pitch.
Yeah.
It says, it does have a section for baby animals, though. So I wonder if we combine the two.
Yeah.
Because baby animal says the dreamer will be dealing with the childlike side of his or her personality. And then cat says, to dream of cats is to link with the feline sensuous side in human beings, usually in women.
Ho-ho.
Of course, in women.
Sexy women. Elegant but also the powerful yet overly self-sufficient aspects of women may also be perceived as the cat. Bloody women with their independence.
Is it women because of pussies?
Oh, maybe.
It says goddesses such as Bast, the Egyptian cat goddess, are usually represented as having two sides to their nature, one devious and one helpful.
Ooh.
So the cat often denotes the capricious side of the feminine.
That does make sense.
It just reminds me of a thing. Have you ever met someone who thinks that all dogs are boys and all cats are female?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
I guess it's that. Poor Tabs.
Yeah.
Tabs, are you a little girl?
Poor Tabs.
Oh, Keith. We did think that one of our kittens was a little girl before we took him to the vet, and it turned out that he was a little boy. We called him Jasmine for ages, but then we took him to the vet and my mum was like, he's Basil. Now he's Basil. Yeah, apparently I was laying down in front of an ice cream van because I wanted ice cream and my dad had to give me money to have an ice cream. And I was still the age that I am now, maybe. She never specified this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Thank goodness.
I get it about like dreams sort of being hereditary in a weird way, because me and my mum often dream about jewelry, like losing jewelry. Ooh. Or collecting jewelry and stuff like that. My mom is constantly waking up like, where's my necklace, where's my rings, whereas I'm in my dream like with a bag, like piling stuff into it, just like, I don't want to lose all of this, it needs to go in there.
Oh my god, my mom used to wake up thinking that she'd swallowed something.
Oh my god.
She had night terrors for ages, and she would wake up screaming and stuff. And it turns out that she had sleep apnea, so she couldn't breathe.
Oh, jeez.
So now she has a fun little mask on that looks like an elephant. and Chonky does not like it.
Oh.
Chonky hates the sleep apnea mask. She doesn't want to sit near ladies. She's like, oh, no, I'm not going near you.
Aww.
Yes, Barbara. Does it make a noise as well? Is that...
It
yeah,
does.
Yeah, they're quite
it's
loud.
So, yeah.
Odd for
and it's
the
like,
cats.
It's got like a high... hydration thing so that she doesn't dry out.
Like a fish.
It's got misting features.
Oh my god.
I was trying to think. I'm always dreaming about weird stuff. Oh, I just went into a dream hole then. Do you know when you're thinking about a dream and you get so into thinking about the dream that you go back into the dream and then real life stops happening for a minute and you forget where you're going?
Oh my, this is good for the podcast. Live dreaming.
Live
dream hole exploration.
It's like, I guess it's daydreaming.
Yeah.
If we're going to be specific. But then I lose track of where I am. and what I'm doing.
I always fear when if I have a daydream and then Alex will be like, what are you thinking about? And I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know if you're ready for the answer for this, because it's usually something very strange that he'll be like, okay.
I think he's used to it.
Yeah.
Come on. I think he's used to it. I'm always just trying to explain my dreams to people and they don't make any sense because they're so scattered. They're all over the place. Have you ever dreamed about ghosts?
Yes.
What do they mean?
Oh.
Oh, God, I don't know.
I don't know if we've ever looked up ghosts.
I think the only time I ever really got like sleep paralysis was when I was a kid and I woke up and I could just see like shadows of ghosts in my room and I couldn't move because I wanted to turn the TV on just to like drown them out with light, but I couldn't move to reach for my TV remote. But it happened again and I did manage to break out of it and turn the TV on, thank God. But yeah, that was terrifying. But I had another dream once where a guy in the community, like a friend, he was in my bedroom doorway with a sheet on it covered in melons.
What?
his username is Melancholy. For anyone who knows Melancholy, you might know Melancholy as well. Yeah.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so I dreamt that Melon was standing in my doorway with a sheet covered in melons, pretending to be a ghost. And I woke up screaming.
Jeez. Terrifying. I just remembered one of the scariest dreams that it's a recurring dream that is so scary to me. And it's that I've forgotten that I have a pet and I haven't fed it in a decade.
I have this dream all the time. I'll be oh my gosh, when did I last feed a cat? It's been months since I fed a cat. My cat must be dead now.
With rats, I'm like, oh God, I've got like 5 cages full of rats and I've forgotten to feed all of them.
Yeah.
And I left the door open and they're running around. Oh.
Because I dreamt that it's usually a hamster with me. It's usually my hamster that I'm like, oh my God, I haven't fed him in ages. And I look in the cage and it's like really messy. There is food, but he's still alive. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And it's the most heartbreaking thing.
Aww.
And the other night it was rabbit and a guinea pig that I had, but maybe it was more rabbits.
Yeah.
And they were in a run in the back garden of my old house. And apparently my mom had been looking after them. So it wasn't as bad, but I felt so guilty. And it keeps happening where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't fed this hutched animal.
That is like, that's one of my go-to stress dreams is being a bad animal mum.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the, because it's so sad and it's so heartbreaking. And I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss that little hamster that I had. He was brilliant. He was so good. He just stuffed his cheeks full of my wraps that I had and then just wandered off.
Aww.
By then, he ate my t-shirt and just wandered off again. Love that little man.
I do get the like fear when, because when I like fostered a hamster recently, I was like, because I'm like out of the like rhythm of looking after a hamster, I'm like, what if I do just forget? One night, I just forget to do anything. And obviously hamsters, they store a lot of food. So you could leave them for a night and they would be okay. But it's still that fear of like, what if I did just forget?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if I forgot? And it's like, it's not in your nature at all to forget these things.
Yeah.
Because you guys especially, you're very in tune with the animals, like come above everything else. So it's like, if you're not paying attention to an animal, That's not you.
Yeah,
definitely.
I guess it's made slightly easier with Tabs just bapping you in the face.
True.
He doesn't let me forget.
A lot easier. They will let you know.
Yeah,
they will tell you if you're not looking. And if you're not looking after them and they're an outdoor cat, they go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like cats have 2 or 3 homes sometimes. My mom has a cat that comes around to visit called Severus, and he's just always in. He's always asleep on Ozzy's bed and he's always getting his dinner, and it's like he goes around other places and stuff. He's not their cat, but he is also their cat.
Aww.
He's Schrodinger's cat, but also like in the In the other sense.
Yeah.
I think my mum's cat does that. Like, there have been times where he hasn't come back for like 2 days and she's messaging me like, where is he? He's never coming home. I'm like, Mum, he's in someone else's house. He's just chilling.
Oh, that's the thing. If they're missing, that Keith went missing for over 24 hours and he was locked in my neighbour's house and I went in and he was terrified of this man.
Oh, bless. This
big man, and he was hiding behind a curtain. I was like, Keith, this is what you get for wandering into people's houses. You daft bugger, man. And it was like 11 o'clock at night, I got a knock on the door saying, I think your cat's in my house.
Aww.
I
was like, oh,
okay. My son. A poor boy.
Oh, baby. My gosh. This is one of the nice things about having just the bunnies in their room. And I'm like, I know where you are. Because I always fear that,
In his room?
Yeah. Playing on his PlayStation.
Oh, my gosh. What a good boy.
I don't think I could handle cats. I think I'd be too, like... I always think if ever I do become, like, a mum, I know I will try not to be, but I'm going to be the, like, over-worried, like, you must be in the house by this time. Because I'm such, like, a... Just the idea of them being out, I'm just like, oh.
I couldn't handle an outdoor cat.
Yeah.
I would lose it. I need my boy here with me.
I frequently lose it. I'm like, where are they? I worry about, there was a stray cat that I have not seen in ages and I worry about him.
Like,
but now that my cats are a bit older, I know that they don't want to go outside as much.
Yeah.
They're pretty relaxed. They're always around. And they like it here, which is nice.
Aww. Yeah.
But I do still worry. And I worry about other people's cats. Because I see other cats around. I'm like, oh, I hope you don't go wandering off places. There's a cat that he must wander so far. Because I know people from streets away that see him. Yeah. And he's got crossed eyes. And his name is Timmy. Aww. But I call him Boz. I call him the boss. Because he's got boss-eyedness. Timmy, I love your son. You're amazing.
Shout
out to Timmy. If you listen to me, I think you're great and I hope you're doing well. Because he just came into my house and started rolling around because there was catnip on the floor. And he was, I have a picture of him in my kitchen, like looking through my shopping bag. So I'll have to show you. Pretty brilliant.
I even get anxiety about pigeons. Because if ever I see a pigeon like going close to someone for food, I'm like, I hope that pigeon knows to look after themselves and they're not going to go too close to people. Because there's bad people out there, Mr. Pigeon, you look after yourself. Like, I'm scared to feed pigeons in case me teaching them to trust makes them trust the wrong person one day.
Yes.
That's a good worry to have, though. It's very sensible.
It's like when you see... Oh, there's loads of seagulls here. So if there's a baby seagull wandering around, I'm like, oh, don't walk into the road. Get out of the road. And I'm slowing down for them.
Yeah.
Baby sea. I got told off by my neighbours because I kept feeding the seagulls. And it came in my house. And I was like, look at him. He's a son. He's my new boy.
It was one of our vets at work used to get really annoyed because people would bring in seagulls and it would get labelled as like stray seagull and they're like, there's no such thing as a stray seagull, it's just a seagull.
Stray seagull. whose son is this? Whose seagull is this?
Going, somebody come and collect him, please.
Have you seen this boy?
Have you seen him? He's very nice.
Likes chips.
My chickens were stray and I adopted them from the vet. They were just like, do you want a chicken? And I said, yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, a stupid question. Of course I want a chicken.
I wish I could look after chickens. For the longest time, I was scared of chickens, and now I absolutely love them.
It's a weird thing, because if you don't know what they're thinking. Because you don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah.
What's going on?
When I was at the RSPCA... Most of the chickens we got were very angry. They were not very happy chickens. Mm. They just wanted to beat you up.
My rooster was an angry little man. But he was angry because he loved his little hen.
Yeah.
And he was protecting her. And yeah. I didn't know he was a rooster when I got him. He was that poorly. He looked like a chicken.
Aww.
And then he grew up and started crowing. And I was like, oh.
Oh, I see.
I see. Yeah. And he would like peck at the cats that were running past.
We had a big boy who came in. He was huge. He was like a little beach ball. And he was called Cluck Norris. And he had really bad legs. Like he had, I think he had bumblefoot, maybe?
Yeah.
We had to like rub Vaseline all over his feet. But he hated it and he hated being touched. So we'd have to chase him with a towel to try and get him.
Oh my God.
And he would just try and kick you all the time. He was very angry. But eventually he got home with a bunch of chickens and he mellowed out because he had a little group harem of girlfriends. Yeah, yeah. He had a little harem. And then he's having a lovely time now, bless him.
I had to take my chicken, my little hen, to the vet, and he would not be happy if he didn't go with her. So I had to put him in with her. They were bantams. They were really tiny. So it was, they were both fit into one cat carrier. And I had to take him to the vet because her eye was all sticky. And this was after I had to give him antibiotics to try and get rid of their sneezing. They had little colds, but she had a sticky eye, and it turns out that she had chlamydia.
Oh no!
So my chickens had chlamydia.
Common with birds, isn't it? Because I was always thinking, whenever we got parrots, are very susceptible to chlamydia, and I was always thinking, like, imagine if I like caught it off them, and then trying to explain that to your husband, like, no, honestly, darling, I touched a parrot. Like,
it was the parrot. Oh, where is he? I'll kill him. Kill him.
Oh dear.
Hero dear. Well, do you feel like we got to the bottom of your dream at all? Have we helped?
I think you did, actually. I think that I've got a lot of sorting out to do to get to the bottom of things. I need to let things go. And I also need to put some effort in to realise my dreams, because there are some things that I have dreams about, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Aww. And also that we all have the stress dreams about animals.
Yeah.
Yep, we do.
It's been enlightening. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for joining us and letting us into your dream hole.
Come into my dream hole. I'm going to have to keep recording them so I can remember them better. And then I'll come on again and go through some more.
You're welcome back on anytime.
Anytime. Yes, definitely.
Thank you. Where can people find you?
Other than inside the dream hole, I do streaming on the Twitch, twitch.tv/boof. I also have a YouTube called Soft Focus, which you can find, where I talk about movies and things. And I have another podcast. Is it cheating if I have another podcast?
No.
Not at all.
It's called Yomp. And I talk about movies on that with my friends Simon and G. It's Ye Old Movie Podcast.
Not nice.
Old. Yomp.
One day we'll have to do a crossover episode where we talk about dream movies. Movies, dreams in movies.
There are so many.
Yeah,
there's this one called Dreamscape, which is kind of like there's a guy trying to murder the president inside his dreams.
Oh my god.
Ooh.
Great.
We'll have to do a comfort yomp. A yomp zone.
A comfort yomp.
A yomp zone.
Hi, so thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, Kirsty, for chatting as always.
And thank you, Bryony. And thank you, Boof.
Thank you, Kirsty. Thank you, Bryony.
And until
thank you, everybody.
Next time, bye-bye for now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.